everybody, how's it going? This is Success Slayers, another podcast episode. And I am Dave Bluehair Jovacchini, sitting alongside
Big Swizzle Sean Carden.
Humanitarian.
Absolutely, I have to put that in. I really care a lot about the environment.
Okay, so this episode is entitled The Robots Are Coming, because they are coming. This is how automation is going to probably steal your job within the next 5 to 10 to 15 years, probably closer to 10 years, and how you need to become indispensable so that you do not get replaced by a robot who works for free, doesn't need tips, doesn't eat, doesn't ask for time off, and basically is not a human person. And becoming indispensable is the key to avoiding that. And we're going to talk about ways to make yourself indispensable and how automation, the good sides and the bad sides of automation, and how it might enrich our lives or make it worse.
Could go both ways, Dave. Mm-hmm. One of the best things I was thinking about automation as far as driving goes is cars. What if the day comes when, you know, legally, I know everyone's like, oh, they have things like that now. But what if cars could drive themselves?
Mm-hmm. Self-driving automobiles?
What if you could be drinking with your friends? I know Ubers are out. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a, you know, I use Uber all the time. But what if you could call your car? What if I could be like, hey, I'm beer. Bam. Car shows up. No DUI. No drinking problem.
So it's your car that's picking you up.
And it's free. You bought it. Paid for mm-hmm. it. Done.
Yeah.
Everyone's, I mean, you just lay back. And the worst thing, I mean, I really dislike driving. I don't like watching for other people. I don't. So when I thought of, you know, things that can work, that's the first one I thought of.
So everybody's car is going to be, because they're already working on they're already testing these.
Well, I know Tesla has something like that.
Yeah, like, and Uber's dumped a lot of money in that. I think all the car companies, because they realize that in the next, like, they think in the next, like, 20 years that they'll just mostly be automated driving cars, which I have some doubts about, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. But I'm pretty bad at being a prognostic. I thought Facebook stock would crash years ago, so that was me. I was off on that one. But I digress here on this subject. But I feel like that'd be a great idea, because your car would be like your own chauffeur, and everybody'd have their own chauffeur.
I always thought, I mean,
like Kit, like, come get me, like Knight Rider, right?
First thing I always thought is like, when, not if, when. That's a huge one. When I get super rich, I'm going to get a butler, and I'm going to be driven around. But what if I don't need one? Mm-hmm. What if?
Yeah. Well, the problem is that, well, I guess it would be over a year, but having a limo driver is actually not as expensive as you think. Somebody will, you about 40 grand a year, you could pay somebody's salary to be on call about 12 hours a day.
Do you have a limo driver? You didn't tell me about it?
I do not, but I looked into it once.
I was, we were in a fight, right?
And then I realized I don't like driving other people's cars, because I'm kind of a little bit of a control freak sometimes. And when somebody else drives, like, I'm hitting the gas and the brake with my own foot, and I'm just trying to.
He did drive a Ford Raptor, so he got a little bit of road respect back then.
Now I have a family car, he says, because it's a Mercedes sedan, which I don't understand.
I mean, it's just
why that's a soccer mom car, but whatever. So yeah, automation. That, I mean, it like self-driving cars. Like, there wouldn't be. Well, let's just go into that right now. If automation is coming, and so drivers, truck drivers, already see the writing on the wall with that, because the first thing that's going to get automated, as far as driving goes, will be probably long haul vehicles. I'm guessing, because that way they don't have to pay the drivers.
Goods would get cheaper. You wouldn't have to see big trucks driving traffic. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. When I'm driving to work in the morning, because I have some early clients. Worst thing I see, these barrage of big trucks coming down the freeway, and I'm looking around like, man, I gotta merge in between these. There would be none of that.
Why not?
Well, they would drive at night. Why not? In the middle of the night, they wouldn't fall asleep at the wheel.
Well, yeah, but they could drive 24 hours a day, so why wouldn't they just be more productive and drive 24
and,
hours a day?
I mean, you think truck drivers drive 24 hours a day?
No, they can't, and that's why it's more expensive, because they can be a certain number of miles or hours, I think. I got a couple friends who are truck drivers. I'll ask them, but... And then they have to rest for a certain amount of time.
I mean,
like back in the old days, they pop some speed pills and keep on trucking. Like, literally, you know what I mean? Like, in the 70s, you're a truck driver, you're just you're driving for a couple of days straight with
the last carton
of cigarettes and smoking the bandit style, and you're just down the road. But they can't do that anymore, because I believe they probably drug test them, and they have rules and regulations now. And But I think that's the first thing they'd replace.
Oh, yeah, no, my point. Yeah,
the economics of
I think it'd be cheaper.
Yeah,
way more effective as well.
Yeah, so shipping would become cheaper. And also that's something that kind of goes from point A to B. And it's mostly freeway driving for the most part. I would assume.
My point is, at least you could stop them to get away from traffic.
Yeah. So what the most expensive things are: fuel and the driver. And I'm pretty sure the driver's more expensive than fuel. I'm not sure. But they got to be pretty close. If you can eliminate that, that's half your cost.
Right.
And imagine if they started making a fleet of electric trucks that discharged for an hour somewhere, because now they're able to drive 24 hours a day. So charging for 2 hours a day is no big deal, stopping somewhere, because you're still 4 times more productive with the same vehicle.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cheaper goods. Definitely no DUIs anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, as long as people can afford to have a self-driving car. But here's the problem. There's always going to be a human on that road, and that human's going to fuck up the whole thing because, and by the way, I looked it up. You can curse on the podcast. It's just not a guy I do all the time. we don't know the rules. One human is going to drive differently than all these automated things, because think about this. Like in California, everybody drives about 80 miles per hour on the freeway. The speed limit's 65.
I mean,
most of the cars drive 75 to 80. And if one car is driving 65 when everybody else is doing 75 to 80,
it's killing me.
It literally creates a traffic jam. You literally are a danger at that point because you're driving slower than everybody else. And those cars are all going to drive 65, which means the traffic's going to back up a lot sooner. Now, they say there'll be less traffic, but I'm not buying that. I'm not a mathematician.
Okay,
but
now, say you could automate, say instead of packages coming via road, now what if you could automate the drones?
Well,
get a bigger drone.
They are automated.
Okay, yeah. But what if they actually dropped out packages? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So instead, you know, you have these big drones flying in.
I think that's more likely than automating all cars. Drones, for sure.
I think El Chapo flew them over the border, right?
He was a tunnel digger. He built tunnels,
he's a machine.
Yeah. Well, like nice tunnel. The one he escaped from jail twice, right?
El Chapo.
The one time with the tunnel, it was a mile long with a motorcycle track in it.
That was like, and they had a lighted.
His boys made a tunnel a mile long under the prison.
Now talk about a business venture.
And that's how he did his stuff across the border too. He wasn't running across, climbing a wall.
He was building
a tunnel. Wall, yeah. You know. So we just talked about automated cars. So that's a huge amount of people out of work when automated cars come on. So all the truck drivers, there's a lot of truck drivers out there.
A lot of them, yeah.
The package delivery people are going to get slammed, so there's going to be like a third less. The sorting facilities for Amazon are already mostly machines with humans overseeing a lot of it and then doing like a final step of it. So you're already seeing where this is happening, and you just need to look at history. So the history of things is you've already been automated out of jobs. People are right now, unemployment is very low, like the lowest it's ever been, and it's been that way for like the last like 6-7 years. Kind of after the recession, people became employed, but they're not getting paid nearly as much.
No, not at all.
They have jobs, but they're getting paid the same they were 15 years ago.
Well, here's the thing: I'm an entrepreneur, personal trainer, I have my own company, business, everything. So I worked at LA Fitness for 6 years. I wasn't getting paid a cent. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had my friends. I enjoyed the process in the first place. But once you realize, you know, you meet someone who's just, yo, crunching numbers, you know, what are you doing? And I did. I was like, oh my goodness. I need to figure something out. Mm-hmm. You know, something. Mm-hmm. Like you're either going to live on minimum wage the rest of your life, or you could work for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah. didn't even think twice. I mean, yeah, there was a little bit of fear jumping into it, but you know, no risk, no reward. Mm-hmm. That was a huge one. And I asked my brother at the time, he's like, dude, never stopped you back in the day. And I was like, nope, you're right. Mm-hmm. He's like, dude, do it. And that's definitely been my style and Dave's style. You know, we're entrepreneurs going gun blazing. That's mm-hmm. where it's at. You know, figure it out. Learn on the way. That's the best way. Don't think you have it. Learn. Don't think, you know, it's a learning process along the way. I mean, the whole thing is a learning mm-hmm. process.
Yeah. So, I mean, so the only way to become indispensable so that you're not replaced by automation is to either own the company or be somebody who oversees what's happening that has a skill that the machines also need to know that you can teach them, which really, if you're talking about machines, people think some robot that's going to come and, like, you know, kill everybody or something.
Well, let's even go about that. What about the military? They'll be automated as well.
Yeah, they will. So, like, what's happened already is computers. So, computers are the reason why the wages are stagnant, because they've already gotten to the point where the government literally has to tell companies to pay people more, because people are willing to work for $7 or $8 an hour and not do anything else, but the government has to make these companies pay them more because it's not enough to live, because the other option they have is I'm going to build a machine to replace you. So if you work at a fast food restaurant, the ordering kiosks, all that stuff, you work at Walmart. Now, my Walmart is now half, there's like two,
you see that? Yeah.
There's two stands at the Walmart we have near in San Poway. The rest are all self-checkout.
It turns out,
Walmart checkers.
Way faster.
It's not hard to scan the things, it turns out. So, and I was always like, I hate these machines. It's replacing people's jobs, and now I use it, and I'm like, oh, this is actually a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
They need to take off the alcohol restrictions, Walmart.
Yeah, well, that's California. That's California annoying. State law.
Oh, well, yeah, it's probably better.
So anyway. I bet some union probably negotiated that in there so they could keep like two checkers. But think about that. All the people that help you at the grocery, that's just, they're not working there still. They're just not there. Those aren't jobs anymore. So the person who owns the Walmart, right, they have a job. The manager still has a job. But worker bees, if you're a worker bee, and some people are happy, they like to be worker bees. That's not what this show is about. We're showing people who are unhappy being a worker bee how to become the boss bee or the queen bee or whatever. Is there a king bee? No.
Is there,
no, I think
there is no,
men are just worthless in the bee world, right? Just,
I think the queen actually eats them. I could be wrong. It could be like a black widow.
We need an entomologist to come on the show and explain this to us.
Dang.
Yeah, the
bad analogy.
Girls rule the world in the bee world. Crap. So. Is that why they call them the Queen Bees Beyonce?
That's why. Dang.
But the only way to stop that is to make yourself indispensable. So in my line of work, if I work for somebody as like an advertising thing, they could probably have somebody else do that. But if you know how to get traffic, which is what I teach people how to do, like my day job is to teach people, is getting traffic and setting people internet traffic. So that's an indispensable skill to have, because it's the hardest thing to do on the internet. And so it's and every company needs customers.
Right.
So if you can send people customers, then you've got an indispensable skill that can't be replaced. Now, I could hire tools to make me more efficient, which is the reason why one guy sitting in his underwear can get more eyeballs in his stuff than the local newspaper does now. The newspaper is being put out of business almost because of automation by people like me. So I'm putting the newspaper out of business because I can get more people attracted to products than the newspaper can without having a huge building of people that typing and doing news stories. Okay, so it's a shame for the newspaper, but I literally, the tools I use, which is a computer, I can reach everybody on the planet easier than printing out a paper through printing press and having trucks deliver it to a store where somebody can then read it. It's just outdated. Like, my mom was an operator back in the day. And that's all automated, right? You make a phone call, there's nobody putting a switch in.
Oh, she was one of those.
Yeah, like, let me connect you. And so that's what's happening now. It happened before. In the old days, before computers, there was literally a room of like 100, usually women, sitting in an office typing. Okay, Lord. They were called like processors, I think, or word processors. When you think of a word processor, you think of like the word program you use in the computer. That was an actual person's job back in the day. Computers, the term computer used to be a job title.
At NASA,
like the people that did all the math, like math before the computers could do it.
Really?
They're called computers. And they were literally just mathematicians that would sit there and do formulas.
Oh, you learned something
that now a computer can do. Those jobs are all gone. And they got automated out as soon as computers came around. So a computer or a robot is going to take your job unless you're indispensable. So you need to think of what skill you have or you can get that makes you indispensable.
Right. And there's lots of different ways you can think about that. But even how it can be related. But I want to even go on more the robots are coming. Mm-hmm. What about restaurants? I was thinking about that. If you work in a restaurant, I mean, that kind of puts your job a bit at peril as well. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, most service jobs are at risk, except for there'll be a couple people. It'll also make a bespoke. I mean, that's why bespoke
not,
stuff.
Not
is
that
so
I'm against
popular.
Tipping, but if I don't have to, I mean,
yeah,
saying.
Yes, absolutely.
There goes the tip. I mean, the consumer myself, I would probably go to a restaurant with machines.
I mean, well, they're not.
I'm not saying what I'm just. I mean, I tip well. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree. And there'll be two types of restaurants. There'll be the one that's cheap and quick, and inexpensive, and everything turns out exactly the same every time. that has the robots making the food and serving it, which is halfway there with fast food.
Could turn into a Mr. Good Burger, though.
Like kiosks, and then there's one person, two people making it. They technically don't even need people to make those burgers and stuff.
True.
They already have automated systems. They just haven't pulled them out yet. And the other half of the people go, I don't want that experience. And then they'll go to a place that pays their people more, but there's less people. So 8 out of 10 people will not have a job anymore in that industry, but the 2 out of 10 will get paid higher because they'll get a bespoke. Somebody actually takes your order. But people don't even have the patience for that. I think people under the age of 45 or 40 almost don't like to sit there and have to wait for your check to come. And
oh, I hate it. Well, no, I was...
That's why all the new restaurants
don't do that. Chili's, where was that? Applebee's, all that other stuff. They, you can just check out right away. You don't even have to wait for your server.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I like that. I hate to have to sit there. I hate it. Yeah. And now... My father and people that are over a certain age, they want to sit there and then talk to somebody. Okay?
That is true.
They do.
Okay. This is a side, like, okay, if you go to the country club or whatever, that's a whole other setting. Then your waiter, someone who talks to you, they conversate with you, they know you, obviously you have to be a member there, but that's a whole other setting. I mean, as far as like a restaurant goes, I don't want that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. It depends on what mood you're in. So, but that's a lot of jobs that'll get lost. What are other jobs? Management will always be there. That's the thing. So you got to find a way to get into management, and a management position where it's a skill level that they also won't replace that. So that's why programming is so important. People need to fix these things, I guess, in the future. So they'll need to be able to program them. Other things that'll happen are, let's see. So you talk about military, right? You were talking about the military.
Well, I always thought of that because one of my all-time favorite shows, I'm a big Arnold fan. The Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's really not too far off because you got these guys who play Call of Duty all day and probably can do far better job controlling a machine, you know, than the military guys. Not bashing it, but if you bulletproof it, probably puts you a bit ahead of the game. Also, too, you don't die if you get shot. So
yeah,
that always helps. But you know, that thought is kind of,
if there was an inexpensive way to make
kind of creepy
robot soldiers, they would do it because nobody wants to. Risk your life.
I mean, yeah. If you can come up with a product, it's countless American lives saved. Mm-hmm. You know, well, why not?
Well, drones.
Why
do
not
it now?
Why not
UAVs? Like the guys that drive the UAVs are literally they're in Las Vegas, right, or outside Las Vegas.
Oh yeah, I wanted to do that when we were at the affiliate ball.
Yeah.
So, remember there was they have the big guns driving. Sorry, this is a whole counter subject. I just got really excited. So we were at the affiliate ball, and I was like, oh man, there's these big machine guns you can shoot out there. I didn't get a chance, but
they don't let you drive a UAV, I don't think. But one of my the parents on my son's soccer team, he actually works for the company that does all that, and they have trouble finding pilots, because you have to have like a pilot rating to do the UAVs.
Oh yeah, makes sense.
And what happens is if you're in the military, and see they're already automating this. Here's an example, or where private sector happens. In the military, you might make like $35,000 a year. Flying one of these things, even though you have to have special training for it, and it costs some like something like $200,000 or something to train up somebody to be a UAV pilot.
So this person's in a computer laboratory somewhere flying.
Yes, and they learn how to fly and shoot missiles or whatever it is from the UAV, the drones, like drone strikes and stuff. But what happens is they can go get a job for about almost $270 or something, I think it pays, with a private company that the government also hires. So the military can't keep the guys in because they can get paid way more to do this, because instead of having a jet plane and a ground support team and everything, it's a trailer. Somebody's on site somewhere in country and somebody is in Nevada or California flying these things, like 29 Palms maybe. And I think that's where they are. They might be. I might be wrong, but
well, that's pretty impressive.
So once, so it's easier to pay somebody $250,000 private company to basically run these UAVs. So that's automation. So instead of having a whole team, because how much does a jet fighter cost, right? And the drones, pennies compared to that.
I mean.
And you don't need to have like two pilots and a support team and fuel and it's all. So there's automation right there, and that's automated military. So eventually you just have drones everywhere, and then
I'm kind of a little. Hopefully that whole Terminator scene doesn't come to life.
You know? Well, it will. I just saw it was a talk with it was Elon Musk, and he was talking about, well, basically it's already happening. It's just at a slow pace right now. Like, we're all cyborgs.
You know,
essentially, you know, we're communicating with our phones, except our bandwidth is just super slow because we have to input things manually into the phone, but they're connected to us.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And
yeah,
there'll be a point where they actually seam into us.
Yeah.
And then at that point, we're like biologically, like cyborgs.
I mean, I actually saw one thing where there was an ad for getting a phone integrated into your hand. And I was like,
what happens when the new one comes out?
I was like, wait.
You're going to have a ColecoVision on your arm.
I'm like, there's no way. And then there's it comes with like a tracking GPS with it. So, you know, you're.
I don't like that. No way.
I was like, what?
No way.
What?
No way.
I swear, man. Yeah,
like people that do that 23andMe and stuff.
Dude, it was like some Total Recall, I swear. It's like pulling a phone out of your wrist. I was like, what the fuck?
That's weird. All right, so what we've talked about here is making yourself indispensable. So what are some skills that you can learn that are indispensable that'll keep you from getting canned? And I go back to, if you can get customers for somebody, that's indispensable skill because every company needs that. And that's why sales teams are usually, in marketing, usually the biggest expenditure for large companies.
Well, I mean, if you can sell something, you can make a lot of money, potentially.
Which is interesting because like a lot of companies, businesses and a lot of businesses that fail don't concentrate on that. And they're like, I have a wonderful product. It'll sell itself.
It won't.
You need to sell it. You can be the best at what you do. And I know a lot of people like this.
I'll give you an example right now for myself. Uh-huh. I mean, I did not do any kind of marketing at all for my business. I was a trainer at Elephants for 6 years. And then I came over and just through word of mouth, luckily enough, I'm an awesome trainer. So I had all my clients come with me, which is cool. But once I started to implement actual marketing and, you know, on my social media, of course, paid ads and this and that, you know, things started to happen. And, well, shoot, now I'm traveling. Now I'm seeing the world. No, just kidding. No, but truthfully, everything works. And once I stepped it up on the computer side, because I was so, I mean, Dave knew me about 10 years ago. I was kind of the best thing for me as a computer was the Frisbee paperweight it held itself down on. I mean, I didn't use it at all. So once I really did, and I kind of I was like, wow, I can do a lot of damage on the computer.
Yeah, a lot. You can a handheld device. You can reach the world with a handheld device. How crazy is that? You can reach the world with $5.
Well, it beat my pounding the pavement method so far. I've only had one as you know. Fun as that was, skipping around, passing flyers out on people's driveway. It's funny because I was funny story. I'm just a side tangent here. I was passing my flyers out to your neighbors, and I was like, "Wait, is that Ruxin? It's Dave's son. He's taking out the trash." True story here. And he's like, "Hey, Sean," and he knew me. And I was like, "Ruxin, give this to your dad. Say some big ugly trainer guy wants him to come train at his gym." He was like, "Okay, hold on." So I gave him power of business. And sure enough, I see Dave cruising out of his big old castle on his nice bike. I was like, "Oh, dude, what's up?" He's like, "Yeah, man, you need to learn some new skills, as effective as that might be." But, you know, so I did. I evolved. And I got a little smarter at the 20th century business. And it was cool enough because I was at dinner the other day. And my dad was like, "You're getting smarter, son." And to me, that was, I mean, I'm a grown-ass man. I haven't lived at home for, like, you know, 10, 15 years. So when he says that, I mean, he gave me so much harp kit. You know, nothing was ever good enough. I know some of you guys can relate to that. I know Dave can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Never good enough. And that to me was a chip on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, I really, that to me hit home. I was like, man, you know what, I'm going to work my ass off just to prove you wrong. If nothing else, I will prove you wrong.
That's a father's first job. Just to make your children want to prove your ass.
Well, it worked.
Wrong.
It was some tough love. I'll give you that. Uh-huh. We're enemies because you know.
I think that's almost a healthy relationship between two alpha men.
Yeah, I wanted to kill him when I was 18.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. We'll talk about that in another episode. Because I we were on the same page with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure a lot of you entrepreneurs are, for sure.
Other things that become indispensable, like Sean was saying, so his techniques were, he was pounding the pavement, And here's this practical marketing tips. And I see everything through a marketing lens one way or another, because this is what I do all day long. But I also, when I advise and consult with companies on how they can become more profitable, it's usually one of two things. One is they're not letting people know what service they have
right.
to the right people and what value they can bring. They don't bring them on a journey where you go from here's where you're at now. Here's where you want to be, because they tell you where they want to be. And then here's the vehicle to get there.
Right.
And they kind of miss the whole middle part. And so you can be the best at whatever you do. And you might have an invaluable skill that's indispensable, so you won't get automated out. But you won't get work because you're not letting people know about that value that you have. You can be the best cook in the world and have a restaurant, but nobody's going to come unless they know. They have to go eat there first. So you got to give them like a, you know, that's why coupons work.
If you are a good cook, please let me know. I'm a huge fan of food.
That's why coupons work. And so what Sean was doing was he was handing out flyers on people's doors, which could work, but do you really want to spend your hours? Like, how much are you worth per hour?
I mean, that right? You know, so once I realized
what do people pay? So say it's $50 an hour is your time minimum, right? You want somebody to pay you $50 an hour. We'll just use that as a number. Now, are you paying yourself $50 an hour to go walk around? No, you'd rather have so. No. Is there an easier way to reach people than handing things out on a doorknob?
Now, I have thought of a couple self multiplier options that I will tell people later. That helped me out a lot. Actually, thanks to Dave, showed me a couple ideas. We call that
self-multiplier.
That's a huge topic, actually, yeah. Self-multiplier. You know, how can you put yourself in more than one spot at one time?
Yeah, and guess how you do it? Automation, kind of, in a way, right?
Oh, yeah, huge.
Yeah, so you need to use the automation tools and not be the person replaced by them is what this whole podcast is about. If somebody's like, we'll take a caller now, and then have somebody give us an example of exactly... how they might be replaced. This also happens on another scale too with economies, and which is why, like, say, house building. Okay, the only reason house building hasn't been replaced by automation and like everything being manufactured, like almost like the old days.
I take a side point. I almost saw maybe on Facebook or something, but I saw they're manufacturing now houses in warehouse that are more efficient, cheaper, faster, mm-hmm. warmer. Mm-hmm. And will withstand longer mm-hmm. and for like an eighth of the cost. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what they're starting to do now. And I'm like, yeah. Wow, you know, mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah. And the only reason they haven't gone to that yet is because labor has remained cheap enough on building sites. So skilled labor, especially where we live in Southern California, a lot of it is migrant workers.
Or they are, yeah. Absolutely.
Skilled workers. And a lot of them don't speak English, no. So they can't get a job that pays more than a certain amount per hour because of the language barrier.
We might be shooting ourselves in the foot there.
But that's just the way the economy works. And so the rest of the country is seeing similar things happen. So it's still cheap enough to pay somebody to go just hammer and nail your house together.
For now, I guess.
But if you stopped that, and then if each construction worker had to get paid $40 an hour... instead of 12 or 15 or 20. Oh, shoot.
Well, there goes the whole, you know, construction industry.
Yes, the whole industry goes bye-bye. A few people will make a lot more money. A few people will make a lot more money, which I think everybody sees happening, right? So most of the wealth is accumulated in the handful of like 100 people on the planet. And then there's mid-range people, but middle, there's no such thing as middle class anymore. You're either service.
Yeah.
You either make like 50 grand or below kind of thing. Or you make a couple hundred grand,
right?
Or depending on where you live, is enough.
You either a worker bee,
yes,
or you're a boss.
Yeah,
who do you want to be? I mean,
yeah,
simple.
Yes. So the old days, you know, there was the bourgeois and the proletariat. You know, the terms. There was the working class, and then there were the landowners. There's renters and there's owners, and that divide is happening again. There was like 40, 50 years post World War II where that disappeared. There was a middle class of people. That's disappearing, and there's nothing you can do about it because the reason it's happening is because of automation and the speed of technology. And so a few people accumulate money. It's worked in my favor, and it can work in everybody else's favor too, as long as you realize this is a problem and act to change it in your own circumstances, and which is where automation is going to take your job, or you can use automation to make a lot more money.
Way more money. Seriously, just implement little things. Didn't even have to make that much of a change. Granted, it was a lot easier than pounding the pavement. I mean, holy crap. Funny story. I was like, hey, man, one of my buddies, I was like, hey, what are you doing today? I was like, let me take you out to lunch, you know, bro. I was like, I need some help today. Cause I was like, dang, self-multiplier. What if I could get one of my friends to just, you know, help me pass out cards? It's an easy thing to do. I'm sure a lot of people have thought the idea before. But even then, you know, we got a whole neighborhood, a full 40 houses done. a full 40 houses. And it's like, you know, that's awesome. I applaud you. This is an A for effort. But there are far more efficient ways to hit people, get an audience that you want, target the audience that you want, and really put value to who and what you have. You know, it's not that hard.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. And... the internet and is gives you the power to reach just about everybody that you want to, when you want to reach them. So a lot of the old stuff just doesn't really work out anymore because it just costs too much.
Well, it's inefficient. I mean, I cranked out, these houses are big around here. You know what I'm saying? I had to walk. I'm a personal trainer, but I had to walk. You know what I mean? I had to walk to each one of your big old doors. I was like, okay.
They're probably reporting you on one of those ring report things, like strange person on porch.
I mean, I have two little handing paper. I have two little fluffy dogs. I bring them with me, so you know. Yeah. He's a Pomeranian. I have a Pomeranian.
That's a whole side subject. Is neighbors poodle. Who freak out when just anybody just comes by their street, which happens. Like
they're like, "What is this huge guy doing with these little toy poodles?"
Yeah, that's a whole subject on its own. Is how social media basically makes everybody a bunch of arguing bastards to each other.
Oh my gosh! Don't even get me started. And they're all keyboard warriors anyway. Jeez.
People thought that the internet would be enlightening everybody, but it really just they didn't, because people gravitated towards. Just, the things that reinforce their worldview, like, already, even if it's completely false.
It's terrible.
And they just talk to people who rile themselves up even more.
Oh, just, yeah. And all it takes is one person to post some stupid picture and just fuel the fire.
Because
I think it's great reading some of the comments.
Yeah, because people are always like, oh, I stay away from the drama. Well, that person, whoever says the word drama, is the drama.
Posting.
So, yeah. Oh, people love drama. I do.
Look at it. It's based on America loves drama. Uh-huh. Look at the TV they watch.
Yeah. As we would do a podcast with a controversial subject, it's a little more exciting, right? I mean,
here's one, The Wall. No,
I mean, this isn't super controversial, but somebody probably disagrees with what we're saying right now. But whatever.
I'm sure.
Get a microphone and talk about it on a podcast with two listeners. We don't care.
It's okay. Go be a sheep. Go work for McDonald's. We don't care either.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is mindset, which we'll get into in another episode of this podcast, because. You just run into people that they think you're just full of crap. And they don't believe that the way you think about things and view the world changes your outcome, which I just find the most crazy thing, because it's what leads all your decisions.
Well, it's funny too, because they have a job. Who did they work for? Who came up with that idea? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Dang.
Yeah. And that's an ideas too. Not to get off subject, but. People think ideas are what make things run. They're not. It's how you implement your idea is what matters.
You know what's funny is I have a lot of friends who have these great ideas, awesome ideas. One of my buddies, just recent example, all these snowboarding ideas, and we come with these graphics, has them all designed out. I'm like, what are you waiting for? He's like, oh, I don't think I have the money. I don't have the time. He's a deli worker. Mm-hmm. So you would think, I mean, for me, that would bug the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. What would not fuel that fire more than that, you know? Like, wouldn't it?
Some people...
Like, get on that. Do it. Yes. You have everything already thought about. Mm-hmm. You have it designed. You have it planned. Now, what are you waiting for? Someone to just tell you, go? I don't get it. I mean...
I think they're just afraid.
I mean, if you're a sheep, go ahead and be a sheep. Go sheep around. Somewhere.
Well, I think there's personality types. And I'm not, and without placing judgment, I think that certain personality types are more comfortable being told what to do, when to do it, how to do it.
That's true.
Clock in and clock out. And I always say clock punchers. They look at that, they're there, they might want to leave early, they kind of waste some time until they leave. They're happy in that kind of life because they never have to know.
Well, there's no risk, I guess.
There's no risk. They don't have to worry about the anxiety of, is this going to work or not?
But that's so boring.
It's like going to a baseball game and then being like, well, I'd never even want to play baseball. I'll watch it. So those people are watching life and participating just enough to not be homeless. But I think that's a personality type. And so if you're not, if that is, you don't want to try and be your own boss or an entrepreneur if you're happy like that, because it's just not made for you. You're going to get worried sick.
It's not your fault. What? You grew up going to school, listening to your teacher. Mm-hmm. You grew up listening to your mom and dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, you grew up mom's telling you what school to go to. I mean, it's so integrated into everyday life where people are being told what to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying I was a dropout, but good grief. I mean, the shit that I had to learn, I'm like, this is not practical to life whatsoever. I'm not bashing school in any way, don't get me wrong. But it doesn't teach you how to make money. And that was my biggest problem. I'm like, these people are going to school all day long. They got friends. I got friends in school for 10 years, and they're still doing the same thing. I'm like, are you like inadvertently wasting your parents' money? Or do they just not care?
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, there's no ideas there. There's no ambition. There's no fire. So it's like... And it's taught that. It's taught that. You're taught to work for someone.
The school beats that out of you. You might have been a 7-year-old who had that fire, and school literally just beats it out of you. Not literally beat it, but unless it's a private school where they're allowed to do that in Texas or something. But, but they do everything they can to make you sit down, shut up, listen, because they don't want, for good reasons, for the teachers, interrupting the rest of the class and stifle their learning, because their job is to prepare you to read, write, understand math and history and stuff. And school's purpose is not to teach you how to make money. School's purpose is to make you a more rounded human being.
I'm including college. Okay, from when I was in eighth grade, I wanted to make money.
But that's not school's purpose.
I sold freaking iPods on eBay. I sold, you know, whatever I could needed to sell to make money.
Yeah.
And you know, I wanted at a young age, I'm like, okay, I'm going to geology class. I learned about a rock. How about you teach me how to make money? How about you teach me how to make a web page? How about you teach me how to, you know? And people are like, oh, you know, they're too young to learn. No, you're not. I mean, you need to learn. I mean, good grief, if you're trying. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, anyway.
But that's, you're a born entrepreneur.
I guess.
I would say, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'd say most people you meet are not. They're worker bees and they're happy there. And that's good for them. This show is not for that person, though.
No.
So this is for somebody who is unhappy being a worker bee, who wants to pivot towards a better world out there. And the world is out there. It's not as scary as you think it is, although it is fraught with peril, which makes it exciting.
And failures, yes.
Yes, the failures are part of it. That's why you do it.
I learn them, and they're so fun. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No.
they're not fun, but it teaches you. It hardens
some
you.
Some of them are.
It hardens you. It hardens you. That's why everybody should have a cold calling sales job early in their career so that they get thick skin because... That was the worst.
You just get beat up a few times.
My job at McDonald's is much more pleasurable than cold calling jobs I've had. Although I did not like the McDonald's job either. But
oh, dude, oh man, that would when I was growing up as a kid, my dad was like, you know, you never want that McDonald's job.
Well, people knock it, but I mean, you know, but hey, it's there. It's there for teenagers and young adults. I feel like
But you know,
no offense if you're older.
I see a lot of groans there.
Yeah, but that's maybe they didn't have the background or the educational level to know that they want more.
But no, the fire to want more. That is more than any education you have. If you have the fire to win, and that's and you want that as bad as you want to breathe. Mm-hmm. You'll get it.
Yeah. But the thing is like there's lifers that work there, and then there's people that they help you and you're like, oh, this kid's gonna be manager. And then in 5 years from now, he's going to work at a company and do well. Because you could tell cared about what they were doing.
Right.
And it's a stepping stone. I worked there. Half the people I know worked at fast food when they were younger. Now if you're there and when you're 50
pizza shop
and you're happy there, that's cool. Okay, but if you're unhappy and you're still there after 10 or 15 years, that's on you, bro. That's on you. Yeah, that's not the system's fault. That's on you.
Yeah.
And you need to go get yourself a skill that makes you indispensable. Well, again, and you probably already possess it.
It goes on being told what to do. Like, figure it out. Like, you got to love. There's one thing I was talking to my brother the other day. You got to love something in life. Whatever you love to do, why not do it? I mean, I was thinking, you know, this the other day. Like, if you love playing video games, you can get paid if you're the best video game player. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you are the best at whatever you have a passion for, you will get paid for it. But money should not be really. Yeah, money's a great option, but do what you love. Be happy. You know, that's
the money will come.
Money will come.
If you're good at what you do, the money will come.
Yeah, then that's one thing. You know,
if you seek it out.
Yes, yes. There's definitely, but you have to be on that path that can evolve. You mm-hmm. know, you can't be at a dead end pizza joint. You know, it won't work. You gotta do something that you can yourself evolve in with yeah. no one else's help, with no business involved, yourself.
And try, and you don't know what'll happen. I never thought in a million years that I would be in advertising, marketing, or even sales. I thought I was going to do something academic or with, definitely not with computers, because I didn't even understand the whole concept of the internet when I
Well, I thought I was going to be world's strongest man when I was young. I mean,
yeah, well, there you, well, you might saying, you might still be.
I still yeah, have yeah, those yeah, vision. Yeah. Actually, I'm competing for California's Strongest Man, March 23rd. Go out, Huntington yeah. Beach.
Check him
see,
out.
See you there.
See him throw boulders around. What do you got, big balls you're going to throw around?
You know pull what, a truck? You know what, Dave? That is a 400-pound ball, actually.
Yeah, I'm not going near that thing. So, got my own set. And so... So you don't know where you're going to be. So try new things. Like I didn't think I'd end up with this, but it was by accident. And it turns out it was interesting. It sounds like it might be boring as hell, but it's actually not. I enjoy doing it. And then I never thought that I'd be teaching people, how to do it. Cause I always thought I didn't have the patience to teach people. It turns out that I thoroughly enjoy helping people.
It turns out.
And I've always thought of myself as a somewhat selfish person. But it turns out I love, like one of my students the other day, and it was, I see Sean is like just super blooming in front of my eyes.
Thanks, bro.
And but no, he's like, you're like, it's like a.
No, it's freaking awesome.
It's
man.
Crazy. It's crazy.
I'm blessed to have you part of my life for sure. And it's you know, it's people like, oh, you know, things happen for a reason, this and that shit. But, you know, it was really cool that I was able to comprehend some of the stuff that goes on. I mean, there is a learning curve, but accept it. Accept that there will be roadblocks with whatever you do. Mm-hmm. Accept that you have to think about it, think your way through them, rewatch, watch. Like I am a student of Blue Hair Dave. I did watch, rewatch videos, but I figured it out. You know what I mean? Watch things, learn things. You'll come across roadblocks, push past them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the easiest thing. It's going to happen. I mean, every entrepreneur comes across, mm-hmm. you know, a failure or something that doesn't work. And what'd you do? Did you quit?
Yeah. If you're not no. failing, you're yeah. not trying hard enough.
Not at all.
You're not trying hard enough. And that'll show your effort level. If everything's smooth sailing, well, you're leaving money on the table. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, you're not, and you're you some be, God-given you bless more. Of the yeah. luckiest yeah. strand of DNA yeah. I've ever met.
If you started, you're an entrepreneur, you got your own company, business owner, whatever it is, and you're doing your thing, and you're making $1 million a year, right? And you're not hitting any failures. Well, you're probably leaving like $5 million on the table. You should be making $6 million instead of yeah. a million.
Yeah.
So, failing is basically just what happens when you try to do something, whether it's a baby trying to learn how to walk. To an adult trying to start a business, it's the same thing. And people are always scared to get started, and they find reasons why to be afraid to start, which will probably be our next subject in our next podcast.
Yeah, that should be. That's a big one, actually.
Yeah.
That helped me back a little bit, but very glad I did.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
You just got to get out there and do it. Make yourself indispensable, because the robots are coming. Automation is a tool where you can use to multiply yourself and to make way more money and make yourself indispensable, so you're unfireable, or you'll be the person that gets replaced by it, and it's your choice. It's going to happen. Every expert believes the same thing. You've already seen it happen for the past 50 years. So we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, and check out the next episode. I'm Blue Hair Dave with
Big Swizzle.
And we're Success Slayers, teaching people and learning about the regular guy who makes the journey from doing
zero to hero.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.